This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful, and it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout, and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today. You'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 270.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, and where we wear transparent dresses to the Met Gala's Fake the Nation podcast edition. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and today I'm wearing dress with no label that I bought from thrift shop. Today, we're going to dish on the Met Gala. That's right. We'll also talk about the new vaccine mandate. And finally, if America had 6 political parties, which one would you be in? And to talk about these many varied issues, we are joined by, the most awesome panel today. Holy shit. Coming back to the show for the 700th time of a show that has only been on for 270 episodes somehow, is a comedian and co-host of the podcast, The War Report, which you should have already been subscribed to because you've heard her on the show and because you love her from the show. It's Shalewa Sharp. Hey, Shalewa.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Also joining us for the coupleth time. a comedian who I have known for many years, who I have seen just absolutely obliterate audiences with his hilarity. You can see his Netflix special, Warn Your Relatives, on Netflix. And he is the wonderful Hari Kondabolu. Hey, Hari.
Hey, Nagin. Love your glasses once again.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm trying to branch out into, other reds is what I want to do. It's like just have many different types of red. Before we get into the show, I want to mention that my dog is chewing on a bone. You may hear that in the background. And I just don't have the emotional fortitude to take it away from him right now. So we're going to just deal with that as a people. I also want to remind you that the Patreon is alive and kicking. The latest Patreon episode that came out last week was about emotional contagion with Maz Jobrani and Jeffrey Maurer. Our next bonus episode is about how we spend our time post-pandemic. Like, has the pandemic changed the way we spend our time? And that's with the wonderful Dan Pashman and Marcella Arguello. For less than the cost of one cappuccino a month, you can join Patreon and get
get these bonus episodes, but also you'll just be supporting the show. And there are so many levels where you can do that, even for less than a cappuccino, maybe more like a pack of gum. There's options in there for you to support the show. So visit patreon.com/NagineFarsad to see what all the fuss is about. And also, before we get into official topic number one, guys, the California vote came in, and Newsom is still going to be there. How are you feeling? Just really quickly before we officially get into the show.
I'm happy for California. Yeah. I think Larry.
Larry Elder. Got the most indifferent face on her face.
Hey, you know, it was either him or Larry Elder.
Right.
Is that correct?
Ooh. Yes.
I mean, yeah. It's a white dude failing upward once again. I mean, mm-hmm. He literally failed, but it's like so bad on the other side. They're like, all right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I just feel better just in general because, you know, who knows? Like, there's things, California, Larry Elder could have done a bunch of terrible shit. You know what I mean? So it's good. It's good. Let's get into it with topic number one. So it's a celebrity costume party season at the Met Gala. It's in many ways a really dumb thing to talk about. But for some reason, this year, it felt like dumb plus one. Like, basically enough for our prestigious panel of dirtbag comedians to actually talk about it. So I guess my first question, and there is a sociopolitical angle that I might be driving at, but before we get into that, does the Met Gala register on your radar every year or ever at all?
Yes.
In what way?
Love it.
You're into it.
I am. I'm absolutely into it. You know, you give rich people a theme, and they gotta think about how to approach that theme, and then they are put on the spot uncomfortably while wearing something that they're not entirely sure they understand, but then they've got to link what they have on to the theme on the spot for no one, it's great. It's fantastic.
I mean, it's comedian target practice. It's the most, they are literally up there to us saying, what do you got? You know, it is such an ideal situation. It's not like, you know, when it's like the Oscars or something, you know, you can poke fun and of course that's another thing. But this one is like wide open. Like, I'm literally wearing something ridiculous. Go at it.
Like, I have generally never really paid attention. Like, I'll maybe just scroll through a few photos the day after or something. But I'm actually embarrassed to admit, I didn't realize there was a theme every year. I kind of didn't really realize that. And so what was the theme for this year? It was like America.
American Independence.
America, a lexicon of fashion. What?
Yeah.
Anywhere.
That could go anywhere. Again,
I mean, you know, they try, it's because I believe it's also what the exhibit is that is opening,
at
which
the
is
Met.
The reason
right,
for the big
right, right.
party
the gala in the first
ultimately.
Place.
Yeah, of it's course. Just a wine and cheese party.
I mean, so Shalewa, since you love this thing every year, there any costumes that kind of stood out to you just from the get-go?
Well, you know, my trouble right now with the coverage is that they keep saying the names of people and I'm supposed to know who they are. So I enjoy like seeing clothing and ridiculousness, but they're also like, you know, so-and-so. And I'm like, no, I don't know so-and-so. I kind of opted out of paying attention to the actual celebrities. And she looks like the other one. So now I'm on like a deep dive of like, which blonde one was this? And I get...
There is
a
little
confused.
Bit of a like a face, you know, because they're all getting the same like things on their faces. I feel like it sometimes can be difficult to tell apart a beautiful woman from another beautiful woman, you know?
Well, yeah, because apparently we decided on this very narrow view of beauty. And so I can't. I'm
one
like,
face.
I don't,
just one
yeah,
face.
Yeah, just the one face. And the face that it's currently based on right now, she covered up her entire face. So now I'm like, well, how do we even know if we
wait,
achieved
can you,
it?
Can you tell us that? Can you tell us that costume? It was incredible.
Kim Kardashian wore, I believe it was Balenciaga, mm-hmm, and it was all black. Yep. And when I say all black, I mean it was a hood that covered her entire face and head, her entire head, into a form-fitting dress with maybe a cape behind it and tights or leggings that seemed to cover the shoe or become one with the shoe, all black. That just you
did also each leg had its own train.
Yeah.
That was the other weird, interesting part of the Kim Kardashian.
It was a lot. And I was just like, that's a lot, Kim. But I also was like, oh, no, do I like this? What? Oh, no, what now?
Ari, who are you taking shots at this year?
Well, first of all, you know, I tried to read into that Kim Kardashian Met Gala getup because I'm like, okay, well, if the theme is American independence or just America in general, is she making a statement perhaps about the nature of independence? Like, we claim we're free, but we're really completely, unable to move. We're being suffocated by a system. So that's me giving her the benefit of the doubt. Mostly I thought it was goofy. And,
mostly I thought it was someone saying to her, no one else will be wearing this, and everyone will talk about it the next day, right? Like, I just kind of feel like maybe that was a big part of it.
I don't know why Lil Nas X decided to dress up as C-3PO. That was a really interesting. It was like gold metal, and then I think he took the metal off, and there was mesh underneath. But it was just, I don't know how that fits into the theme, but I liked it because, you know, why not do that? I mean, that's really what it is. Like, the theme is just, like, why not? Why not do that?
Why not do that? It mm-hmm. was incredible. He's also one of those celebrities that I feel like has like a young dude, a lot of shit was lobbed at him. He became this kind of international sensation. And he got a lot of probably hate mail and whatever, death threats and what have you, because people are homophobic. And he's just like handled it so well. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm going to handle all of that. And then I'm going to look like C-3PO. What? You know, I just I have a fondness for him.
This is nothing. Comedians making fun of him about what he's wearing compared to what he's been through for existing?
Yeah.
Oh, this is nothing. This is
totally
bouncing right off.
Mm-hmm. So one of the little things that I did want to talk about was just the many varied political statements that people were trying to make. For example, Billie Eilish came out wearing an Oscar de la Renta, and it's not really her jam to dress up in that fashion, but she looked like a Marilyn Monroe-esque Hollywood starlet in this pink thing, right? And apparently one of the deals was she said to the House of Oscar de la Renta, I'll wear this, but you guys have to stop using fur. So that's one of her little victories. What'd you think of that?
Did they say yes?
Yeah, it all worked out.
Wow.
I want to say that's awesome, right? And that's a big issue for her animal rights. And that's great. I do also think that it was kind of like an easy sell PR move. You know what I mean? Because fur is out of fashion anyway. So, you know, also there's a ton of like substitutes that people use, that these designers use all the time. So it's kind of like, yeah, that's not difficult for us to do. I don't know. I kind of was just like, all right, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Oscar de la Renta.
Yeah.
So like the kids aren't necessarily rocking that.
Right.
That because, so if the kids don't want to wear fur, they've got plenty of options, but older people are not going to Supreme.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry. Is your mom not aware of Supreme's most recent drop? Or
so it may not seem like much to everyone else who's like, who's wearing fur? But to older people who are like, it's a thing. Is, yeah, I'm loyal to them.
Right.
And now there's no fur, and it's all because of this little girl. And, you know, they shake their fists to the heavens.
She's moving the needle for young people who are like, what's Oscar de la Renta? And then also for old people like, oh, I guess I can't buy fur. But I wasn't anyway, really. It's just not that much in fashion. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But, okay, let's talk about the AOC outfit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Harry, you want to let us know what that was about?
Yeah, she wore an outfit, and I believe it was on the back of it. It said, tax the rich.
Yeah.
Which, initially, when I saw the picture, I think it was from a weird angle, so I thought it said, axe the rich, and I was psyched. I'm like, this is gutsy. And then I read it, and I'm like, oh, it's tax the rich, which is it's still a statement, but it almost would be more powerful if she wrote, tax everyone here. Like, you are wearing it to the Met Gala.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, there's something about, like, that statement in that setting that feels a little like there could have been more.
Right. I mean, so the designer, by the way, is named Aurora James of that dress. And I got to be honest, I don't know. Like, Shaleo, I don't know how you felt when you first saw it. I felt a little gross when I saw AOC, I guess, at the Met Gala at all.
Well, I did see that she, I didn't feel that gross about it. It kind of made sense to me in that, you know, we're looking for people who have a little heat to them, right? That's the whole reason that we invite them.
Sure.
And then I noticed that she had, like, I don't know if it's a rebuttal of sorts, but just kind of an explanation afterwards, day after, where she said, you know, there are actually a lot of elected officials who go and they get to go for free. And there were a lot of them who were there. But, you know, and they're there every year. I'm the one that was photographed. So, you know, I took advantage of it and wore this tax the rich. I feel like, you know, I guess it was cheeky in a, you know, like a Washington, D.C. way. Like, how dare you? But it also reminded me that Macy Gray wrote "Buy My Album" on her dress at the Grammys. Do you know what I mean? I feel like AOC seems to be someone who really thinks things through, and I thought this may have been a way to use fashion in a different way to make her point. Outside of literally just writing it on the dress, like, that's coming to the Met Gala in a graphic tee. Anyone could, and others did. And anytime I see it, I'm like, well, I mean, couldn't you? I'd rather you have worn like a bird cage with a thing to represent that. You know what I mean? Like,
being pretentious
with it. But I feel like if you're just laying it out, like, don't. I'm like, okay, great. Well, this is now. Is this merch? Do you know? Can I get it?
Right.
You know. I don't know. I get it, but my problem isn't necessarily with the message or even that she did it there. I think my problem is with the execution of it, where I'm like, anyone who showed up with words on their dress or their outfit just made me go, oh, here we go. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the idea of a Met. I agree with Shaleo. I think the execution wasn't the best, but it was so like, yeah, of course, tax the rich. Like, there's nothing about that that's very specific. If it said Green New Deal or anything that was actually something that ruffles feathers, but like, tax the rich more. Tax the rich. It's just such a like, yeah, tax the rich.
Tax the person who made this dress. You know what I mean?
Something pointed. Tax everybody here. Even axe the rich, it would have been. It's still something that draws more of a conversation.
I
mean, generally speaking, like, you know, I like political statements at these things, to be perfectly honest, because nobody, like, people know more about celebrity gossip than they do about regular news. So, like, people are going to be paying attention to this. So why not learn
something?
Because
it crossed over into celebrity gossip, right? I mean, that I think is an excellent point. I just, you know, I was chatting with my coffee crew this morning about it, and you know, someone said that it kind of reminded them of the opposite spectrum of the Melania I don't care, do you moment,
right.
where yeah. she kind of gets off a thing. She's in a setting where that was maybe not the right message, and it became, she became like such a target of the left because she wore that in that setting and blah, blah, blah. And this, I think, again, I think it sucks to be AOC. Your everything you do is under a microscope, and you have a lot of, it's probably very dangerous. You probably get a lot of death threats. It probably just really sucks to hold all of that. And I think doing, like, showing up at an event like this that's so celebrity driven, even though other politicians get to do it without much notice, when you're AOC, you don't get to do it without much notice, right? It becomes like a thing. And I can see that it become that the way that she gets targeted by the right, or even people in the middle who are like, you know, scared by her, this makes her even more of a target, you know? And it also puts her, like, it didn't totally feel like she's of the people for the people, you know what I mean? She's like, she's at a Met Gala, you know, wearing a dress with a, I don't know. It, for a second, I just wondered, like, if it just didn't feel exactly right. But also, like, let her do whatever. I mean, I don't care, you know, personally.
I feel like she probably weighed all of that, and she was like, well, I could wear a plain dress, and they're going to say, what are you doing there anyway?
Right.
I might as well put something on the dress, perhaps. But I do kind of wish it maybe was a better thing. I don't know.
She wasn't the only one that had messages. You know, Kat was a Cara Delevingne. Like, she had something called Peg the Patriarchy, which I thought was hilarious. There was, I think, ASAP Rocky was in support of Candyland, I guess, with that.
I think that was just a big old quilt.
Just like a blanket to keep warm.
Inside of it was just more quilt.
Yeah, just that. Like it was 80 degrees in New York yesterday, and he just wanted to, you know, cozy up.
It did look like a Candyland.
It did look like candy. Can I just say one last thing about the Met Gala before we turn away? The Met Gala also makes me say stuff like, it just makes me think things like feminism is so many things, right? It's like celebrating transparent dresses. It's feeling the pressure of having the body that we can wear a transparent dress. It's also shunning the need to have that body. It's sort of all of those troubling, contradicting feelings all in once that makes you just like, you know, that just is baffling, honestly. Or like it just makes me feel confused as a woman.
It doesn't for me, because I get those feelings just trying to dress myself. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
I have more of
a struggle trying to.
But do you
shop
feel like
clothing.
You have a struggle shopping for clothing because of images like this that are pumped into our eyeballs?
Not with the Met Gala so much, because it is so ridiculous.
So ridiculous, yeah.
To me,
yeah.
It
is a costume.
To like more of like a costuming thing, which as a larger woman is what they're handing me anyway to wear. It's just a lot of stuff with cherries or something. You know what I mean? They just decided that's what we like. And
right.
I don't know. For that kind of thing is so personal. The concerns that you brought up is so personal, and that's usually when I feel them, when I'm doing personal things. But that is just like watching art on, you know, just maybe not the best of canvases. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, 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 right.
But it's
right.
fun to watch them just kind of wander around and see where they're supposed to go.
Like, right.
As much as we want to give AOC a hard time for being there, I'm not sure Jack Harlow needed to be there anyway. But he was there in a eggplant colored suit, just like, I'm here. And I'm like, great. Right. Congrats.
I mean, it's art, but it's also, I mean, this is kind of just quickly going back to the idea of political statements at things like this, and I guess political statements by celebrities in general. Like, they're art, but they're also walking billboards for different fashion houses, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're literally advertising.
Yeah, it's just
so
PR,
It's PR. So that's another reason why I do like when there's political statements, whether they're executed well or not, when there's an attempt. Because, like, you're already promoting something, whether you realize it or not. So why not also teach us something? Like, why not say, you know, I'm wearing Vera Wang and also Google redlining. You know what I mean? Like, why
right,
do something? Because people aren't going to pay attention otherwise.
All right. We'll leave it there on why not. And before we move on to the next segment, I just want to remind listeners, thank you so much for rating and reviewing the show. We got from A. Samparampa, 5 stars, hilarious and informative, and a bunch of heart and smiley emojis. So thank you so much for that. Also, I grabbed this one from the bunch from Haley, from Craig Haley or Haley Craig. No, sorry, from Haley Craig. We're only doing optimism. Nagina's funny, authentic, compassionate, and absolutely brilliant. She picks fantastic guests like you two who also meet these criteria. I look forward to the podcast every week and appreciate the optimistic tone, even when addressing emotionally or technically difficult topics. I also really appreciate Nagin's desire to listen, empathize, and understand with whom she disagrees. Well worth a listen. Wow. I'm going to like copy and paste that onto wallpaper that I put all over my own home. Thank you so much for that lovely, lovely review. And I hope you guys will take a moment to review the show on Apple Podcasts because it really helps. And it could just be a quickie. You know what I mean? You don't have to go into that. Was a real big paragraph right there. And I'm like just so shocked and flattered by it. But you can just go ahead and throw some emojis up there. It just helps people find the show. All right. Let's listen to a word from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about vaccine mandates. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things, and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app. And I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money. And because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry. Thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you. So you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank you to Angie for sponsoring this HeadGum podcast. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well.
Indeed. So if you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need.
Yeah, doing stuff yourself seems fun, but then you actually get to, you know, solving a problem and you realize that you can create 10 more problems, and then you probably should have just paid a professional to deal with it right off the bat.
You can easily injure and or maim yourself as well.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No.
Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. You just get the app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. It's very convenient.
It sure is, folks, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that.
So download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com. Thank you, Angie.
Angie.com.
Thank you.
We want to tell you about a podcast we think you're going to love. It's called See the Thing Is, and it's hosted by Grammy Award-winning R&B artist Bridget Kelly and media personality Mandy B. Every week, Bridget Kelly and Mandy B offer grown, honest, and slightly toxic perspectives on all things music, pop culture, and of course, dating and relationships, which is my fave. Do you have a hard time finding new music? Are you a millennial who misses what life was like in the 2000s? Are you interested in multiple perspectives on relationships and dating? Are you interested in a non-male bashing podcast that holds both sexes accountable? See, the Thing is a podcast that allows space for a wide range of thoughts and emotions. Most recently, the ladies sat down with Big Frida and Chloe Bailey and just huge names. Van Lathan, who's one of my favorite people to listen to chat about movies. So the conversations they're having are phenomenal. Join Bridget and Mandy every week as they update you on everything going on in the world with their polarizing hot takes. Subscribe to See the Thing Is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on YouTube. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Friday. And we are back, and we're ready for topic number two. Biden announced more sweeping vaccine mandates, and in response, conservative panties have been exceedingly bunched. Apparently, Tucker Carlson was so upset that he was on Yale Fox News, and he started to talk about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's testicles and how they got swollen as some kind of anti-vax argument. You know, the classic science behind a celebrity's cousin's friend anecdote. And just as a reminder, Tucker Carlson is totally vaccinated. All right, so let's get into the vaccine mandate. First off, what did you make of them? I mean, just as a reminder, for example, part of the new mandate is that all federal employees and contractors need to get the vaccine. No ifs, ands, or buts. I think there's some medical exemptions. If you have a business over 100 people, they got to be vaccinated. And those employers have to provide employees paid time off to get the vaccine and to recover from any, you know, side effects that they might experience from the vaccine. Teachers and staff from various federal education-related programs have to be vaccinated. The Department of Defense, most healthcare workers at facilities that receive Medicaid, Medicare. All in all, we're looking at 17 million workers. What do you guys think?
I'm a little confused because is it a mandate or is it just like you have to get vaccinated or you have to get tested every week?
The testing option has faded away for federal employees. That's, I think, done.
Okay, but I mean that's federal, but you work for the government, you're the president, so you would think. But outside of that, it's not a mandate employees.
Yeah, private, I think for companies over 100, I think you cannot opt out by testing. You have to get vaccinated.
Wow.
That's my understanding of it.
To me it's why not mandatory vaccines for everybody? If the whole point is to protect other Americans, we torture people. We kill people in the name of protecting Americans. Why not get vaccinated? This seems a much better thing. If this is part of Homeland Security, or at least at the bare minimum, waterboard people and let them choose whether they want a vaccine or get waterboarded. That to me that's is consistent. An
you know what, guys? I hope Biden's listening to some of Ari's fantastic ideas for the Republic. No, I mean, I think though your point about veterans is really, really great, because it's like a veteran is like, guys, I went to war for you. I mean, can you just get like a little shot? It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? Compared to what I did. I mean, I think that's a really excellent argument for like the patriotic thing to do. Shalewa?
Yeah, let's do this. Why are we waiting? I've been so annoyed that it's taken this long. People are hard-headed and stupid and will remain so as long as you let them mess with their money. Like, I truly think the only way you're going to get people to move in certain ways is to really affect them, because clearly no one is. And the idea of helping your fellow man is not concrete enough. So you have to just be like, hey, sorry, that's it. We're taking away. You're grounded. You're grounded, I guess, if that's how you want to look at it. If that's how negative you want to be. You're grounded. Get your shot. And then you're free to go.
Well, okay, what would you guys say to the question of like, so I was actually just on this other podcast, Majority Report, which will be available, I think, in the next few days. And there was a listener voicemail there about a listener whose parents, she was worried that her parents were going to dig in their heels even more on anti-vaccine because of the idea of government overreach. What do you say to conservatives who feel this is just in their bones, this is government overreach?
I say, as someone who has gone through a breakthrough case, that the arrogance that you have right now as to how your body is going to handle COVID without a vaccine, you need a vaccine in order to back that up. There's no way, like, whatever it is you think your body's going to be able to do without a vaccine when you get it, it's not. I could truly tell, like, oh, without a vaccine, this would have been a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. So,
Hari, what are you saying to conservatives?
I mean, I just don't understand how this is government overreach. I understand this idea of like they're telling us what we can do with our bodies. I'm like, you have no issue with like being quote unquote pro-life and telling women what to do with their bodies, but this is an issue? Also, it's like, when did, because like this whole idea of like, I don't know what's in the vaccine, I'm not sure like what they're putting in it. Like, when did Americans start caring about what we put in our bodies? Like, what is a flaming hot Cheeto? Nobody knows what a flaming hot Cheeto is, and yet it's been approved. We eat them? Like, that's nonsense. Right. And like, when it's people of color and particularly black folks, I get it, because there's at least an institutional history. There's a memory of what the government has done about things being experimented, you know, people being experimented on. Like, I get that. But when it's white people, it's so aggravating. Like, the government's not in it to hurt you, right? They're in it to protect you. They always have been.
You've been vaccinated. Like, you have the measles and mumps vaccines. My kid has been, I know exactly like how many vaccines most people have. Like, it is not an issue. It is just to, you know, so that we don't spread these diseases. I want to point out a little bit about all the thing that sucks about American society is just, here's just the thing, is that like so many of our health decisions get channeled through businesses. And that is fucking bananas. Like, why is our healthcare attached to business and jobs? Like, why, you know, and obviously I think Biden is in a really tough spot because he's just like, gotta end this fucking pandemic. And he's just like, all right, how can I get more people? Where can the government, the federal government, where do the arms of the federal government reach? Okay, great. Here's 17 million people, you know? And that's great. So I understand that he had to like use you know, what rules he had before him. But it's like channeling these things through business. I have a friend who has a company over 100 people. She is getting panic calls from her managers, like talking about people are going to walk out of this job because of the mandate. I guess hoping that she would be like, cool, violate the federal mandate, I don't care, or whatever. Of course, she's not like that. She's wanted people to get vaccines. But she just doesn't want her job, her business, to be political in that way. So she's just sort of like had a mass mandate and just sort of like functioned, but has been hoping for, you know, that people would just make the right decision. So she's worried on the one end of like losing employees in states that are, you know, have lower vaccine rates. I have another friend who's been dying for the government to like have a rule like this, because she's like, I am so tired of worrying about like the 3 unvaccinated employees in my business, like either giving it to each other or giving breakthrough cases to the vaccinated employee. Like, I don't want to think about this as much anymore. I don't want to think about this anymore. I just want the government to mandate it. So, you know, so they're both like experiencing the mandate in similar and different ways. And I think that we're putting businesses in like tough situations that they have to be in the middle of all of it.
Well, yeah, but because the other tough situation is this pandemic goes on forever and they're going to be in the middle of it, whether they like it or not. And
I don't think Biden had a choice, but I'm just saying it just sucks that in American life we put everything like through businesses.
Oh, yeah. Like as if that is the economic cost, and it's short term economic cost, too. It's not even the long term. It's the short term, because in the long term, this will never end and we're going to go through this forever. And again, regarding overreach, it's like after 9/11, the Patriot Act went into place and there was government overreach everywhere. Everyone's rights
were being taken. Every time you take off your shoes at the TSA,
Yeah, librarians are tattling, like who took out Kurt Vonnegut? Like this is what we were doing, and so many people in this country were fine with it because it's for our safety. You know, we're talking like the number of people who are sick and who have died in this country because of the pandemic is so much more than how many have died because of terrorism in this country. And yet it's government overreach. They're telling us what to do. It's like, this isn't about you anymore. It's about everybody. And this isn't a pro-Patriot Act, by the way, Ram. But it is to say, if we were going to use that logic then, why are we not using similar logic now?
Can I also, just exactly to that point, I read this delightful op-ed from the ACLU that actually addressed the question of whether the mandates, because there's going to be so much so many lawsuits against the mandates. So the ACLU took up the question of like whether or not these are illegal. Do they actually violate civil liberties, which is what a lot of people on the right are claiming? And in fact, the ACLU said, quote, far from compromising civil liberties, vaccine mandates actually further civil liberties. They protect the most vulnerable among us, including people with disabilities and fragile immune systems, children too young to be vaccinated, and communities of color hit hard by the disease. They went on to say even religious exemptions, you know, aren't necessarily justifiable in this situation because these rights aren't absolute. They don't include the right to inflict harm onto others. And basically being sick and exposing others to your sickness is inflicting harm onto others. So from a civil liberty standpoint, the mandate is legal. I mean, it just doesn't hold water that it isn't, from my reading of this one op-ed.
Let's go. Let's do it then. I am pretty much done with discussing. So if people just like, well, I got to do the research. All right, well, I'm just going to leave you behind to do the research with that weird dry cough that you now have. I'm going to be I don't have the patience anymore. And I'm not necessarily someone who's raring to get out in the streets. I've been loving it, staying away from people. Never cared for them. But I don't want them all to disappear. So, it's wild to see how people have this block what the block is. You never know. I'm finding from so many people just like, well, it'll do this, or, you know, I don't want it. Just the whole, like, helping out everyone in your community. I feel like over the past year and a half, we should have picked up on how every element of our life has been touched by this and is affected and intertwined in ways that you could never expect.
Yeah.
You know, just from this one little thing that we're dealing with and how that has reverberated across. And you would think that people would see that and observe it and go, oh, okay,
and also,
I need to do my part. And
until
no one
that point,
wants to.
And just to wrap up, aren't we all tired of this fucking pandemic?
I mean, also
tired of talking about it and tired of, like, I just don't want, I want to open a newspaper because, you know, I only read hard copies. I want to open a newspaper and just not fucking see anything about it anymore. Mm. You know what I mean? And, like, let's live in that world. We can if everybody gets vaccinated. Which I feel like, is that a pitch? Like, is that a spin that might get conservatives to move? Like, hey, let this not be an issue ever again in your life. We could all go back to just watching TV and not caring. You know what I mean? Like, let's do that. All right. Let us move on to topic number three. So the New York Times had a quiz where it asked, like, if America had six parties, which one would you be in? It asked 20 questions. For example, do you think immigrating to this country should be easier? In which cases do you think abortion should be legal? Should the federal government make sure that its citizens have health insurance? Those kinds of questions. And at the end, you got to see where you were on the spectrum of these imagined parties. So I guess first, you know, we'll get to defining them by first finding out where you guys were, if you feel comfortable sharing, in these your imaginary political affiliation.
I believe that will violate HIPAA rules, but I will share.
Yeah, where were you?
I fell. I'm closest to the Progressive Party.
Okay, unsurprising.
I guess. But I thought, I honestly didn't know what I thought. I thought if there was an apathetic party, that's where I would fit firmly in there, strongly apathetic. By one chart, I was like, I don't know, I'm like halfway between progressive and whatever new liberal is.
But then
when they had a more detailed, like, as I scrolled down, a more detailed, like, look at the grid, and I was like, oh yeah, no, I am on this progressive.
Progressive. Harry, where were you?
I think I was right on progressive. Like, I was as far as right.
You were the dot.
I was the dot, yeah.
I was, like, 2 millimeters away from the dot in the direction of the American Labor Party. So let's, you know, before we get into it, like, talk about what these three parties that the three of us were sort of around are all on the left. And I should mention the Progressive Party is focused on equity, racial justice, a strong vision of inclusive social democracy. Its strongest support comes from politically engaged, highly educated younger people, especially women. Hey, and it accounts for about 14% of the electorate. And the three of us were all in the Progressive Party, which makes us a boring panel of samesies. But I would say that my 2 millimeters were in the direction of the American Labor Party, which is a little more socially conservative, because I think the reason my clocked in that direction was because I am not in favor of abolishing the police. You know, like, I actually feel like there's a role for the police. It should just be handled like a lot better. And so I think that's one of the questions that kind of got me more in that direction. You know, the American Labor Party is, like, you know, is focused on economic populism, appeals to working class Democrats, and it's about 12% of the electorate. The Neoliberal Party, which sounds like you were closer to, Shalewa, the New Liberal Party is the professional class establishment wing of the Democratic Party. The people in it are, like, cosmopolitan. Their social and racial views are more pro-business. Wait. No, sorry. They're cosmopolitan, their social and racial views, but they're more pro-business, and they think wealthy people are innovators. That's 26% of the electorate. And an example of someone who's in that New Liberal Party is like Pete Buttigieg, which I thought was
interesting. Oh, that's right. Wild.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Well, that's funny. I wonder what nudged me over there, because I'm pretty sure there was a question that was like, do you, you know, you find wealthy people to be the most innovative? And I was like, they don't want for anything. No.
Yeah, like,
all.
What? Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense. But, you know, there was a lot of, like, government, how much do you want the government to run things? And I was like, Well, I mean, if I liked our government.
Right. You know, right.
If I historically liked our government, it'd be nice if they could step in. But I got issues.
So
go back.
The three
centuries.
Other parties were sort of more on the right. You know, obviously a lot of these are sort of in the center. But the Growth and Opportunity Party was fiscally conservative but a little socially liberal. They're kind of like your Rockefeller Republicans. Mm. The Patriot Party is basically Trumpism. By the way, that Growth and Opportunity, the Rockefeller Republicans, 14% of the electorate. The Patriot Party, I thought this was fun, also 14% of the electorate, right? So this is the Trumpists. The Christian Conservative Party was about 20% of the population. They're more socially conservative and fiscally conservative. And they put like Mike Pence in there, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott. And that was 20% of the population. I should just note, the left side of the spectrum accounts for slightly more of the population in general. Now, my question is, like, do you think that it would kind of free us all up if we just could choose from more parties?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell me why,
next
Hari.
Question. No.
Tell me why.
This is a country that talks about the freedom of choice and that we have more to choose. Like, if you go to a supermarket, we have, like, more cereal options than anywhere else. But with democracy, we have two.
Yeah.
And so when you're dealing with two, is like, you're always going to have to compromise a lot of things. If you have more options, both as a voter and as a politician, like, you're not worried about the establishment. Like, oh, I'm going to lose my place in this party, which means I'm out of any kind of politics. I don't have the support of this party. What am I going to do? Well, then there's a couple of other parties and there's other places that might, you know, it might work for you. You know, that kind of ability to make up your mind as an individual or as a smaller unit, I think that gives you it allows for, like, for example, a softening of the hard right. Like, instead of being a really important constituency within the party, like, they're their own party. And if they don't build enough coalitions, it's not going to happen for them. I guess the same is true with the left as well. But, like, it does force a certain softening, I think, at least of that hard right, because you don't need them as much.
Shalewa, yeah. Do you wish you could let your slightly new liberal but mostly progressive identity flourish?
Yeah, no, that'd be nice. Also, I think if there are all of these groups and they're all having to come together and make these decisions, it's their job. It's kind of forcing them to really look at major issues in many ways. Mm-hmm. In a way that right now it seems to be, what is the way that I can do this that will keep me in this job? Now, if there are lots of groups and lots of opinions, you're able to work out a way.
Have to
really
coalition build.
Yeah, absolutely. And not necessarily worry about so much about how am I going to keep this job, which seems to be. And I mean, honestly, I know I feel like on the left, you know, we are constantly discussing how to compromise anyway. I feel like that's not happening so much on the right. Because it's just like party line, toe the party line. And so it'd be interesting to see what that looks like on the right as they're having to actually talk compromise amongst themselves, you know, besides.
Yeah, because it makes sense for there to be a big tent coalition, right, as opposed to a big tent party. And I do, because I think, you know, with the vaccine mandate, for example, I feel like Republicans are like, are you fucking kidding me? Get vaccinated. Like, right. That's what I think the average Republican truly and honestly in their heart believes, which is why people like Tucker Carlson are vaccinated, right? Which, and I bet you, again, based on nothing, I'm a garbage person who knows nothing, but based on nothing, I bet you Republicans are like having their families get vaccinated. Wouldn't want any of their children or sisters or brothers or whatever not to be vaccinated, right? But they're saying this shit because of the narrow band of political discourse they're allowed to have. Now imagine if the Rockefeller Republicans could represent their 14% and the Trumpies could represent their 14% and they could just be fucking honest, you know?
That's a world where values comes before power. Mm-hmm. Where like I am representing my values. And so my party represents that. And this isn't just solely for what is the most practical way to have the most power. It's, well, why am I in this? I'm in this because I believe in these things. I mean, the parliamentary system really does have a lot of strengths. And I hate giving the British too much credit, but like I will say that, I don't know, there is something to be said about really rich debate and everyone not... it's ridiculous. When we do the State of the Union, half of the audience stands up. And
that's
the other
so dumb.
Half,
yeah.
It's very passive-aggressive. I definitely prefer when they're yelling at each other and literally like, boo!
I also wondered...
I love the boo! Let it be known!
I also just don't understand why we're so beholden to the two parties on a local level. In local races, who gives a fuck? Like, we don't need to use Democrat, Republican. Jay Inslee could have... I think it would be amazing if he just ran as a Green Party candidate and just did that, you know, as opposed to like trying and make the Green Party a thing, make it a thing at the local level. Why are we so beholden at the local level when it's not the thing that keeps us two party on the just one office is the Electoral College, and that's the presidency, right?
Yeah.
The Electoral College sort of forces us into this two-party system. But everything else, doesn't need it. I've never understood. And by the way, for those of you, the proportional multi-party democracies also have consistently higher turnout. And it's probably because there's a thing of the many options that speaks to them. Whereas here, we just have to be like, which one of these two heinous things just speaks to us? That said, I'm a strong Democrat.
I wonder what it would mean for businesses, too, who are dumping money in just the two parties to make, hedging their bets.
Totally.
What does that look like for them if there are six parties and now they have to, do they take more of a stand or they just cut
that's
more checks?
That's a great question.
What does that look like for them?
Ooh, I like that. All right, folks, I want you to take the test and let me know where you fell on the spectrum. Check out that piece. It's so fascinating. Do you wish we lived in that world? Let me know. Oh, my God. Hari Shalewa, thank you so much for doing this show. You guys are so fantastic. And I think you guys are so fantastic that I would really love for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to go wherever you guys want them to go. Where should they go, Hari?
They should go to Netflix to watch my special, War on Your Relatives, and to HBO Max to watch my documentary, The Problem with Apu. Yeah, I'm that guy. And and I would tell you to go on Twitter and Instagram, but people have a tough time finding at Hari Kundabolu, so just go to Google. My website is Google. Just Google Hari, H-A-R-I, and just see what pops up, and you'll find me.
Shalewa, where do they find you?
I'm on, I guess, most of the important social medias, your Instagram, your Twitter, your Venmo, and my handle is at Silky Jumbo. All one word, traditional spelling, and that'll get you close enough to me, as close as I want you to be. And you'll find out more once you get there.
I hope all you listeners do exactly as they tell you, because they're fantastic and you should be following their good work. As for me, just a reminder, you can go to patreon.com/NagineFarsad to support the show. Don't forget to post your Apple reviews. We would really love that. Upcoming, you can hear me on an episode of Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson. You can also hear me on, I mentioned earlier, the Majority Report over at Wonder Networks. And folks, I would really like to thank the people that make this show possible. That is our wonderful producer, Julia Linden, our sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, who this week is getting help from Clementine Yost. Thank you, Clementine. And all the wonderful people at HeadGum. The theme music was written by Gabby Alter. And as always, you can rate and review the show, as I mentioned. I'm just going to mention it again, because it's on this piece of paper. I forgot that I already mentioned it. What? You can email us at fakethenation@headgum.com with any ideas you might have for segments, guests, whatever. And again, we will be back in your earballs next week. That was a HeadGum podcast.